Welcome to Life and Love in the Q, a podcast for the LGBTQIA2S+ community, those who support them, and those who just want to learn more.
Together we share the stories and the science of the space and grace to live life in full color.
I'm Jillian Abbey, proud lesbian and mother, Hay House author, queer blogger, and TikTok something or other.
And I'm Trisha Peterson. I'm an LGBTQ ally, proud mom of six, professor and researcher of identity and the social narratives that impact the way we live and love.
So open your mind, open your heart, and welcome to Life and Love in the Q.
Welcome back to Life and Love in the Q. This is part two of our four-part series that I am not going to call the God Pod, but you know... Some might call it that. But in our first episode, we got to hear so much more of Dr. Trisha's story about her life and growing up kind of a little bit more separate from the church and then growing into the church community. And then we left off with you getting your PhD and doing more research around family dynamic. And you had your own things going on with your own family that seemed to be challenges with the church, I guess, or incongruent with some of the things that you had been told or taught. And one phrase I've heard you say several times that I love is you say, "I didn't stop believing, I stopped belonging."
Yeah.
And so I'm hoping we can pick up today where we left off in the last episode, because I think this is something that a lot of people, especially now and especially during COVID times, when they were kind of examining more, trying to find how religion, God, and life fit together or don't.
Yeah, thank you so much. And I'm grateful that we're here for sure. There's a lesson in yoga that I absolutely love. I think I've shared this maybe, that I used to train high school athletes in yoga. And it was a preventative practice that the coaches wanted to help prevent injuries. But the high school students were always super interested in the tricks. A lot of yoga teachers call them the bar tricks of yoga. And, you know, they're like the really fancy poses that
Like side crow, the weird balancing ones.
One of the things that I learned really, really quickly as a yoga teacher, especially training high school athletes, is it was my responsibility to make sure these kiddos were safe and uninjured so that they could compete in their sports. And so the most important thing for me was to actually teach them how to fall out of those postures. So I always taught them the healthy and safe way to fall out of those difficult postures before I would teach them how to get into them. And then not only was I teaching them how to fall out, I was teaching them to recognize which muscles you need to engage, because a lot of times we think that we're engaging our core muscles when really it's actually our butt muscles. Anyway, so that was one of the things that was a really important thing for me to teach them. And I never had any injuries from the students, no matter how complicated the postures got. And it was because they knew how to fall out. And as we were talking in our last episode, and you had said, which I feel like is actually a really beautiful compliment, but that you feel like I have the ability to suspend judgment in people's stories. And I feel like that's where I earned that. Especially my religious journey, is I have a very, very difficult time placing judgment on anybody, because in our world, we're not set up to know how to fall out of life. In religion, we don't teach people how to fall out of their belief system. We don't teach people what it looks like to fall out of relationship with God or out of relationship with our church community. And I think just knowing that we don't know how to have some of these conversations makes it a lot easier for me to like almost hold this little sacred void place where we just don't have an opinion. We just listen. And so carrying on with my story, I feel like that's just an important thing to point out as people are listening to us. I'm not trying to change anybody's mind. I'm not trying to convince anybody that I was mistreated in the church. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with, we have to listen to one another's stories. That's what allows us to suspend judgment. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah. In your story, you were mentioning that one of the, and I can let, you can use this in your own words, but like, can you recap what the big pivot point for you was when, in the way that you looked at religion in your life?
I will be honest, I had three really, really big pivot points. My first pivot point was when I was doing my master's degree research. There was one time that I was sitting in a church meeting, and it was one of the top authorities of the church said, he gave a statistic that said kids that go to church every Sunday have higher grades and higher connection to friends, and they do better in life, and they're happier and more well-functioned. And I was listening to the message, and I was thinking, that's actually not what the research shows. And so I looked up the article that he was quoting, and he had taken it very much out of context. And the way that the research says it is those who feel like they belong in a church community do better in all of those. Wow. But those adolescents who do not feel like they belong, who feel like they are discrepant in some way, actually fare far worse than the general population in emotional, mental, spiritual, and physical well-being. That is the turning point that we don't talk about, is that phrase, belong. So one of the questions I get a lot is people trying to decide if they should keep making their kids go to church. So in our church, it's just a really, it's a big deal if your kids quit going to church, and everybody knows about it. And it's a conversation that is in the whispered corners of the room. And my advice is, if your kiddo does not belong, or they don't feel like they belong, they need to get out. Like, you need to give them a break, because it's doing them more harm than good every single time they go in. So for me, that was a huge turning point. And hearing my own kids tell their stories of how unloved and unworthy and unbelonged they had felt their whole lives. Like, I knew I had felt like I didn't belong, but it made sense to me. Me and my husband, we looked like we matched the ideal. So why did they not belong? That did not make sense to me. And I never told my kids that I didn't feel like I belonged. They never heard my story of feeling like I hadn't been on the right side of the line. Like, that was not something I talked about. So that was one really big turning point for me.
Yeah.
And then another really, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just, if you will indulge me for a moment, I came across a recent research study. It was a multi-year project with almost over 2,000 or close to 2,000 respondents across all 50 states, specifically related to the LGBTQ and religion. And what they found is that 86% of the LGBTQ plus community were raised in the church versus 75% of the general US population. 54% left their faith community after age 18 versus only 27% of the general population. Their top reason for leaving was negative personal experience, which goes along with what you're saying. But then here was really the fascinating thing, is that 76% of those LGBTQ people are open to returning to their faith versus only 9% of the general population. And so I think this speaks so perfectly to what you mentioned about that feeling of belonging and how many people leave because they don't have that sense of community or belonging, or they feel like they're there by accident. But how many people want it?
So I love that you're sharing that, because that was my second pivot point, was sitting in church one day and hearing the conversation that I had participated in so many times. And I remember sitting there thinking, the only explanation is that God doesn't love me. It's the only explanation. And I remember sitting in that room thinking, if God doesn't love me, like, nothing else makes sense. Nothing else makes sense. And I was still in the middle of my master's degree. And I remember just sitting there thinking, how many people were leaving religion because they didn't think God loved them? And for me, that was a very distressing feeling, because I had a really good relationship with God. I loved reading my scriptures. I cannot even begin to explain how much I loved my scriptures. I loved singing. I loved worship. I loved singing the hymns. I loved being in a big group of people who had faith as their background. So for me to all of a sudden realize, wait, this means God hates me? If all of this is happening, and everybody kept telling me it was because I didn't have enough faith and I wasn't reading my scriptures enough, I wasn't going to the temple enough, and I was doing all of those things. So like I said, the only thing that made sense is that God must hate me. And to me, I think that's one of the things that people don't understand, is that we tie God so tightly to religion that if you don't feel like you belong in the religion, it's very, very easy to believe God hates you, or God doesn't love you, or you're not good enough for God. And losing God is hard if you've had God in your life. I don't know if you've ever, have you ever watched or read The Golden Compass?
Mm-mm.
In The Golden Compass, they taught, they have these little daemons, and it's not demon. The phrase is daemon, D-A-E-M-O-N, I think. But it's like this little animal spirit that is tied to the person. And the animal spirit is kind of like the Jiminy Cricket, you know, it's like the, yeah. It's like the little consciousness. And, but to cut the daemon, the little animal away from the person is like the greatest sin in the universe. And to me, that's what it feels like to tell somebody that they're not good enough for God. Like, if you believe in God, that's like second nature. That's your soul. That's your heart.
Yeah.
And then to lose that, I really don't think people understand how incredibly hard that is.
Did you feel like you had lost God, or were you finding that people were telling you that that was a message you were receiving from people?
Well, I was receiving a message that I didn't have enough faith. And I'll be honest, I got to a point where I couldn't even sit in church without getting very frustrated at some of the conversations that they would have around LGBTQ. My son has some crazy stories about sitting in the church and hearing how horrible same-sex relationships are and how evil they are. Like, you can't listen to that and be part of that community and not have a huge dissonance factor happening. I felt like I lost God because that was the only thing that made sense to me.
Mm.
That if all of these things were happening and I knew I was doing all the things, like I sat on my grandma's porch several years ago. She passed away like 5-ish, 7-ish years ago. So this has been maybe a good decade, right at the beginning of my kids. It was right at the beginning of my kids' struggles. And we were sitting on the porch and I said, there's a scripture. And Jesus is talking to Paul and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And I remember sitting with my grandma and I was saying, Grandma, I feel like I did all the things. I feel like if Jesus came and sat right here with us today, I would be able to say, I did everything you asked me to do. And my grandma started tearing up, which was not common for her. And she said, Trish, I don't think I could say that.
Wow.
And I looked at my grandma and I thought, this woman who is more Christ-like than maybe Christ doesn't feel like she was good enough. I don't know. I don't know if that makes sense, but I knew my actions couldn't be the thing. Does that make sense? There was something deeper, and the only thing that made sense was then I must not be good enough for God. So I don't feel like I lost it. I feel like for a red hot minute,
mm-hmm.
I believed he dropped me.
Mm.
It would be easier if I had said, if I could say I lost faith in him. I lost faith that I was good enough for him. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. You also mentioned there was a third pivot point for you with relation.
Yeah, my third pivot point was, I kind of mentioned, I had a really hard time sitting in the church, listening to some of those lessons. And then I started having severe panic attacks just walking up to the church building. So even just like driving into the parking lot, I would have literal visceral panic attacks. I was begging for help. I was asking my church leaders. Like I said, my kids were struggling and I had callings. If you're a member of the church, this is going to make sense. If you're not a member, it may not make sense. But we have callings that we're assigned to do. And they're usually like service things that you teach the youth or you teach an adult Sunday school class. But all of my callings had been alone callings. There were things that I just did alone. I wasn't serving with people and I wasn't serving for people. And so I kept asking my church leaders for help. Like, I needed a calling. I needed something that was putting me with other people because I needed to do something outside of my family and school. They weren't responding to my needs. Basically, they weren't responding to my requests. And the ways that they were answering me were, I don't think anybody intended harm. I really don't. But I just think that they didn't understand what we were up against. And it was after COVID and we had gone into church and my son agreed to come with me. And we had agreed that we would only go to the first, our church used to have 3 blocks. So you went for 3 hours and you did like sacrament meeting, which was like chapel service where everybody was together. And then Sunday school where the youth and the adults were separated. And then the third hour was where men and women were separated.
Mm.
which already is irritating to me, but so my son and I went, and the agreement was we would go to sacrament meeting the first hour, and he would stay if any, it was a new ward, a new congregation, and he would stay if any of the boys came up and invited him to go with them to the next hour.
Okay.
And no boys came up, which we knew. A lot of the boys had been boys that teased him at school and teased him at sports and were mean to him.
For being gay or
for
just?
For being gay. Yeah.
Okay.
For being gay. And so, I mean, we knew how it was going to go down, but we made an agreement that we would give it a try. So my son talked to several of the girls that he is friends with. He had a lot of friends that were girls that were really, really supportive of him in the church. But none of the boys came up. And a friend of our family came up and he said, here, let me pull one of these boys over and have them take your son to second hour. And I said, don't you dare. Don't you dare reach out to one of those boys and ask them to take my son. It needs to be authentic or else it just is forced. And it doesn't feel safe when it's forced. Nobody came up and my son and I left. And I thought, I can't do this anymore. I can't fight the church and my family's safety anymore. Yeah. And for me personally, I needed to take some space to figure out where my relationship with God was. Because when I was going to church, I didn't feel loved by God anymore. The way I explained it to somebody at the time, I think it's even in my journal in a couple of different ways, but when I first started going back to church, I would spend 6 days of the week struggling with my identity. And one day of the week, I felt very secure in my faith. And slowly over time, I got to the point where I would spend 6 days of the week firmly rooted in my identity and one day of the week feeling like shit. So I moved from working 6 days of the week, reading my scriptures, doing all of the things, saying my prayers, just so that I would be worthy to be on church on that one Sunday of the week. And then I slowly moved to the fact that I felt so horrible about myself on Sundays that it took me the rest of the week to rediscover my sense of self and my confidence and my self-love. And then I would go back to church and do it all over again. And at that point, it was a decision of, do I continue to believe that God hates me? Or do I accept that for right now, this community is not healthy for me? So it kind of goes back to the episode that we talked about when we talked about letting go. Sometimes letting go is the most loving thing you can do. That's what I had to do with the church.
This gives a whole new meaning to me of let go and let God, because it sounds like you were still able to keep your God while also having to let go of some things.
I was able to keep God, but we had a couple of good solid months of arguing back and forth, I will be honest. Because it's silly, but in our church, when I grew up, I can't say that everybody did this, but when I grew up, it was actually, we were very strongly discouraged not to use the word God. That it was a very sacred, you don't get to use the word God. So we always called him Heavenly Father. So when I started my prayers, it was like a letter, Dear Heavenly Father, type of a prayer. And I think it was probably 6 months that I was like, can I still say that? If I'm not going to the Mormon church, can I still call you that? Are you, wait, what are you? Like, it was a really, it was a brain fart for sure. Like it was a, how do I put this back together? So.
Sure.
It was a journey. It wasn't like a, I mean, again, I think I mentioned it in the first one. When you're a member of the church, any church, but again, for the Mormon church, it is everything you do. For me personally, I stepped away from the church. I lost all my friends. I lost my service opportunities. I lost the way that I donate money. I lost my relationship to the scriptures. I lost my relationship to like really sacred worship type activities. There's even a threat in the Mormon church that if you walk away, you lose eternity with your kids. So,
oh boy.
Yeah, you lose your family. And so there was like kind of what I said in the beginning of this episode, we don't teach people how to fall out gracefully. And we don't teach people to listen to people's stories of falling out. So when I post on Facebook, how many people I have that send me some sort of message that says, well, it's obvious you lost your faith. There's a phrase in our church that says, there's always a sin. If somebody walks away, there's a sin. And so it's really easy for people who are still active to kind of question, well, what was the sin? Obviously, she didn't just lose her faith. Well, I didn't lose my faith, but it becomes this crazy little mask of we can't tell each other stories. we can't hear each other's stories. And then we're always assuming someone's assuming something about our story.
Yeah. It's like teaching somebody to fall out of crow pose, but you teach them to fall into a face plant. Like, you can do it, but it's going to hurt. And yeah, there really are other ways. And so I love that we are having that there are more conversations. I think this is a great stopping point for now. And in our next episode, which I hope all of our listeners will join us for, we'll dive more into what you just discussed about community and kind of what it means to lose community or find community again, if it has to change.
Well, it's going to have to change, honestly, because we're losing too many, not just losing too many people from religion, but the research study that you shared at the beginning of this episode, if we take that research study one step further, we're losing too many people to death by suicide. Mm. That's the piece that we need to understand. Like, it's easy to look at the middle piece that says, oh, religion, no religion. But we have to look at that other piece when they feel like they do not belong, but their heart is connected to God. There is a huge, huge need to cover that gap, because that's where people lose hope. And again, I just talked to my therapist about this the other day. It is a very, very short road from hopelessness to self-harm. Mm-hmm. It's not a very long path.
Well, I look forward in our next episode to discussing that cue, being in the cue between religion and not religion, or God and not God. We'll dive into that next. See you next week, listeners.
All right. See ya.
Thank you for listening to Life and Love in the Cue. If you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to like, subscribe, and share. And if you have questions, contact us at lifeandloveinthecue@gmail.com. Until next time, Q Crew.